This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raised our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me today. And we bring a distinctively biblical approach to the day. And we want to be sure that we are like men of Issachar, understanding the times so that we will know what to do. And that's critical. And Bill, I'm trying to define the times as best as I can. It seems to me we're in something of the eye of the storm. We are not over it yet. 2020 was a pretty radical year, but now we're into the quiet. But the quiet is an eerie quiet. We're not out of this thing yet.
No, but not by any means. And we've been so buffeted that we think, we can relax a little bit.
Time to relax.
And you're right. I think the best analogy is that it is the eye of the storm, and the worst is yet to come. The backside of the storm is going to hit us, and when it hits us, it's going to knock us off our keel.
Yeah. That's the best way to describe this macro situation, especially in the economic realm. And that's why we come back to the economics. We want to be sure that we're bringing a sound mind to the area of economics and warning God's people and bringing a sense of the time so they will know what to do in the area of economics. I think this is so vitally important. But let's hit a few of the high points, or shall we say the low points, of what's going on right now. The Democrats are excited. They've got a $3.5 trillion budget resolution passed this morning, the U.S. Senate, and it will sail through the House of Representatives because I think Democrats have the edge there. So it's a done deal. Yeah. I think Biden's getting everything he wants.
Of course he is. Well, everything that somebody wants, and Biden is just the shill.
Yeah.
He's just the front man.
Well, Bernie Sanders was tickled.
Oh, he should be.
He's tickled pink. He's the budget committee chairman. He is so happy. He is a happy camper. Bernie Sanders is a socialist.
Yeah.
Well, he gets everything he wants. In fact, here, the best way to explain what's going on in America right now is America's becoming communist, and Bernie Sanders is excited about it. So that's it.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders said, this is the answer to all my prayers.
Right.
To, well, I guess, the big status god,
yeah,
or whoever
he
it is. Who does he pray to? I'm not sure who Bernie prays to. Yeah. But he called the budget plan the most consequential piece of legislation since FDR and the New Deal of the 1930s. That's his words, not mine.
My word.
So you thought that was some kind of right-wing, wild wing nut from the basement of some recording studio out in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. You thought that's what it was? No, this is Bernie.
Yeah.
Bernie's excited. They got the whole wish list here, Bill. Universal pre-K, tuition-free college, expansion of Medicare, Obamacare, child daycare subsidies, paid family medical leave. It's all there. It's all there. America has turned socialist. I wouldn't say we're 100% communist at this point, but we have crossed over the 53% mark, or the 50% mark, when it comes to the take of the GDP.
Yeah.
Government take of the GDP has crossed the 50% mark, which means there's no stopping from here on out. Get ready for totalitarianism in the old United Socialist States of America.
I mean, hey, Kevin, would you give me come on, be a Christian for once and give me some money. Oh, never mind. I just need to ask the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go ask the government for it. We did an entire program on this and interviewed a dentist who has come up with a pretty unique approach to handling the poor. He basically asked their church to kick in, their family to kick in a little bit, and he kicks in the other third. So he says that's a biblical approach. And there's a few Christians left in America who do that kind of thing, but the rest of everybody is going to go to the government. Overall, Biden's calling for a $6 trillion of spending in 2022. That's 28% of GDP, and that, of course, doesn't include the local and state funding, which would take it upwards of 53 to 56% of the GDP. So the majority of American life is now government, up from 3 to 4% at the turn of the 20th century. So Marx has accomplished everything he wants here in the United States. And, this is the socialist dream. The only problem with socialism, though, there's a few other problems with it, but eventually you run out of other people's money. And that, my friends, is already happening. That next on Generations.
Ever Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here in the United Socialist States of America, broadcasting. A lot of Russians coming over here are saying, and people from Poland, people from other of the Eastern Bloc, et cetera, North Korea as well. We've given many examples of these in the last couple of weeks, Bill, in which those who have escaped North Korea, the Soviet Union, Poland, et cetera, have said America is at least as bad, if not worse, than the Soviet Union. So, I realize the frogs in the slowly boiling water are not going to realize that, but that's where we are today. And of course, government owns all the properties at this point. The communists in government have pretty much confiscated all the properties. Why do I say that? Because, well, you know, if you're a landlord, nobody's paid rent for 12 months in a row since last summer. I'm sorry, you're just not going to get any income. That's just the way it works.
Oh, but the government will bail you out.
Well, all now. Except for the fact that they've only done 12% of the rental assistance thus far. It got all hung up in bureaucracy. I guess some of the bureaucrats took a trip to Hawaii and had a good time
with it. Several trips.
Yeah, several trips. Okay, so I'm serious. I mean, they've only been able to confiscate all the property. They've only been able to compensate 12% of the landlords. So now here's what's happening. What's happening is you have people who can't pay the rents. And so Biden, who owns all properties, all the government that owns all of the properties in America because they're communist, have told landlords, you can't collect and you can't evict.
See, I think that's fascism. Yeah. I think that's more
closer to fascism. Yeah, but fascism is pretended communism. Come on.
Yeah, I mean they're both is evil because it does not allow for liberty. It does not treat people as individuals. It treats them as part of a group, and it stifles the free exchange of goods and ideas.
Biden has pushed off rental evictions again for what is this, the fourth time?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I can't keep track of it. But rental evictions extended to September 30th or October 3rd. And meanwhile, the potential financial damage has not been averted. It's just kicking the can further down the road. A lot of these tenants living in apartments with unpaid rent just piling up and landlords facing their second straight year unable to evict people who don't pay them. At what point do they go bankrupt? How does this work, Bill? I'm not sure how all this works. In L.A. County alone, $3 billion in back rent owed to landlords. Also, a recent survey from the Urban Institute noted that a total of 28% of landlords have deferred maintenance during the pandemic, so the buildings are falling apart. And as of the end of June, only 12% of the originally approved $25 billion in rental assistance have been reached the tenants and the landlords. So that's where things are right now. But remember, all that government money, that rental assistance bill, where does that come from? That was created out of thin air.
Right.
By devaluating all the wealth of the nation and then giving it back to you in less value. In other words, here's how it works. What the government does is it takes the $1,000 in your bank account and makes it worth $500 by printing more money, and then it gives you $300 of the money it printed, but the $300 is only worth $200. But then the government is doing this now over and over again, so the $1,000 in your bank account will only be worth about $10 in another 2 years. So you understand how that works?
I think I owe you some money.
The end result of this, friends, is a massive economic destabilization. That's what happens. It's called the destruction of confidence in the entire monetary system and an undermining of all investment in America and a depression that will last for 30 years. So that's the way that plays out. Now, I don't know, Bill. There might be repentance. You know, maybe Ted Cruz gets elected as president of the United States next year. Maybe somehow, you know, Ted Cruz becomes president and somehow common sense comes back into government.
No, but to have to have common sense, you have to hold something in common. And that's the problem. Our people no longer hold in common the values that made this nation great, the values that provided the greatest security and prosperity and civility and liberty for individuals than any other nation in the world. That used to be common sense, but we no longer have that which is in common. We no longer adhere to the Constitution. We no longer adhere to the words of the Declaration of Independence based on a biblical worldview.
And we no longer subscribe to thou shalt not steal. That's what government's doing. Government's stealing. Governments are saying, hey, come with us. Let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let's lurk secretly for the innocent without a cause. Let's kill 57% of Americans by the IUD and abortifacients. Let's swallow them up alive like shale. Cast in your lot among us. Let's all become socialists. Let's be Marxists. Let's devaluate all the money. Let's all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. And that's what's happening, Bill. We're taking away the life of its owners. We're destroying an economy. Massive institutionalized stealing, like what President Trump did last year and what President Biden's continuing this year, is destructive. It destroys. It destroys not just, you know, one little city where these robber barons are coming in and destroying the city, but it destroys an entire nation. In fact, it's destroying an entire world economy. That's what's going on right now. Now, here's another little takeaway. I think people are losing confidence in systems. That's why they're going to cryptocurrency. Well, people can say there's always cryptocurrency. Oh, by the way, Bill, did you know the largest cryptocurrency heist in all of history just happened over the weekend? The bad guys made off with $600 million.
Whoa.
You know, so it's good to know that crypto is solid. You know, there's by the way, the largest bank heist in history occurred in 1997. It was $26 million was stolen. So which is more secure, crypto or banks? Crypto, biggest heist in history, $600 million. The biggest bank heist in history is $26 million, occurred in 1997. So, Bill, just kind of wild guess here. Which is more secure, crypto or banks? The crypto heist was 20 times the bank heist.
Yeah.
So, oh, by the way, they gave a little bit of it back, is my understanding. So,
oh, they did?
Yeah, the thieves were generous.
Good.
Nice to know that. All right, so crypto is 20 times more destabilizing than the banks. And did I say that the banks were real stable? Like our whole monetary system is the stablest thing we've seen ever.
Right, right.
The systems are cracking, friends. The systems are cracking. The systems are cracking. Now, briefly, let's look at Fangman. Now, Fangman are the leading tech stocks. It's basically Apple and Facebook and Google. Okay. So now, Fangman... Okay, the Fangman stocks have doubled since last year from $5 trillion to $10 trillion. Now, what you're saying is, wow, so the productivity of Fangman, of these high-tech stocks, doubled in a year. Well, actually, their income increased by 5%, but their value increased by double. In terms of stock value in a single year, the cryptocurrency total cap index is up to $1.6 trillion. Okay, and that is everybody's run out into invest in crypto. Oh, wait a minute. That came down a billion. So that's down a billion since the weekend because somebody just ripped it all off. So, oh yeah. So, sorry about that. And next weekend it'll be, $500 trillion will be ripped off. And by the way, it's up and down. So the value of crypto goes from like 1.6 trillion down to about 800 billion inside like 3 days. So it's really solid currency. I just got, you depend on it. Well, stick it in your mattress. It works.
Yeah.
Okay. The cryptocurrency total cap index increased by eightfold in a single year. The total cryptocurrency cap index increased. People ran into crypto. They put a fair amount of their stimmy into it. That's what happened. The stimmy check.
Yeah.
The $1,400 you got.
Yeah, give me money.
And by the way, it wasn't just $1,400. It was roughly $45,000 for each man, woman, and child. So the amount of money that was created was like $45,000 for each man, woman, and child in America. But you only got $1,400.
Yeah, what happened?
What happened to the rest of it?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for it.
Are you?
In fact, my family, what do I have, five kids or whatever? Yeah. I'm waiting for my $246,000 check. Yeah. So far, I've got $1,400. So that's a viable question, right? But what happened to the other $44,500? What happened to my other $246,000? Where'd that go? Things that just make you go,
Maybe it went to infrastructure, because we need infrastructure.
No, they haven't done that yet. That's coming next.
Oh, that's coming.
That's coming next, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you got to make more money for that. Well, friends, what's going on here? What's happening here? Americans are not taking legitimate dominion in economic priorities. We're abandoning a biblical worldview. We've certainly taken on debt, and that's the main issue. The main issue is we're living off our great-grandkids. Excuse me, we're living off our great-great-great-grandkids now. We've used up all the capital of previous generations, using up the debt of our great-great-great-grandkids. Oh, wait, our great-great-great-great-great-grandkids at this point. And we have abandoned biblical principle, which basically says the debtor is servant to the lender. And that's the ultimate biblical principle on this one, isn't it? The debtor is servant to the lender. And the Word of God tells us, owe no man anything but to love one another. And that's not what we're doing. You don't love one another when you borrow from your great-great-great-grandchildren to pay off one interest group in order to benefit one group over another group, which is really what the socialist system does. No, this is just one big, massive violation of the Eighth Commandment, friends. This is stealing, plain and simple. Yeah. This is stealing. Also, Americans are not taking legitimate dominion in terms of they're less interested in investing in value. They've lost sight of that which has value defined biblically. They don't care about productivity. They want to invest in that which attracts their immediate fascination. They are much more subject to the impulse of crowd dynamics now. They want to make a quick buck. So that's why the stock market price-to-earnings ratio used to be around 15. Now it's, I think it's reached 44. Wait a minute, I think it's up to 46 now. It's heading to 48. It should be 54 soon. Which means what? What does it mean? That means that people are most interested in the price, not the earnings. They're all interested in the price. Why? Because it's just Las Vegas.
Yeah,
stock market is Las Vegas now. You buy that thing and hope the music doesn't stop before you can sell it. Because if the music stops, then you don't get a chair, in musical chairs. Yeah. And you don't want to lose access to the chair. The Buffett indicator is now at 208%, up from an average of 75%. That's effectively the overall market value divided by the GDP. So take the whole value of everything in the stock market, divide by the GDP. That's the Buffett indicator. And on average, it was about 75%. That was the safe point at which you would invest. But now it's up to 208%. It's the highest in history. Never been this high before. It's almost three times. That's almost three times what it is ordinarily, which means, again, the stock market is significantly overvalued. The price-to-earnings ratio, extremely high, three times the average, the highest in history. This means that people are not buying the stock for earnings or dividends or productivity of the company. They don't care about productivity. They're just putting it all on the eight on the roulette wheel. That's where it is, friends. That's what they're doing. They're buying stock because they hope more people will rush in to buy more stock before the music stops and the game of musical chairs. So they'll get the quick gain on their stock price when they sell it. The legitimate dominion investment is replaced by greed. That's what's happening. Just a big, fat, greedy market. The greedy lemmings are counting on there being more greedy lemmings, but at some point you run out of greedy lemmings, and that's the problem. Well, towards the end of a stock bull market, questionable assets also appreciate with abandon. We've talked about this, but in March of this last year, a digital artist named Beeple, okay, this guy just makes digital art, okay, he sold a collage of his art. There's zeros and ones put together on a screen. That's what it is. He sold a collage of his art for $69 million.
You and I are in the wrong business.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
I can do ones. Can you do zeros?
I'll take care of the zeros if you take care of the ones.
Okay.
And let's just sell the whole thing for $69 million. Yep. Now, anybody can copy it.
Sure.
Okay. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. That's Proverbs 13:11. Teach your kids the book of Proverbs. People have asked me before, okay, so we are headed for the biggest crash, the biggest reset in the history of the world. So what do we do? I say, teach your children the word of God as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise out, as you lie down. If they get an opportunity to reconstruct a civilization, a social economic system, where would you start? I would just start with the book of Proverbs. Why? Because it's God's wisdom. Just go with God. Start with what God gives you. Give them the book of Proverbs first. Here's one more. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. These are words of God upon which we can train our children. And I'm putting together an economics course for roughly ninth graders. And Bill, here's what I'm doing. I'm presenting macro. Mm-hmm. And then I put micro right there in the same chapter where immediately after they realize, oh, the macro is going down. I say, okay, now this is what you do in the micro. You save your money, you invest, have your little home business, and don't go into debt.
Yeah.
Very simple. The debtor is servant to the lender. But, okay, you could say, well, you know, the government is doing it all wrong. Well, what about you? What about you? Here, one last thing. Reagan White House budget director, David Stockman. Okay, this is what he's, I follow this guy from time to time. This is what he said in a recent interview. I think this was last week. He said, this is not the time to be invested in the markets. A reset is just a pleasant name or a clinical name for a crash of epic proportions, which we will have because the markets are so inflated. There are trillions of dollars that are at risk. To put a dimension on the thing or a way of sizing this up is we have a $60 trillion budget or bubble on the balance sheets of 130 million people living in American society, but especially in the top 5 to 10% that own a huge share of the assets. I have no thought about how big the correction will be, but if it were just back to the norm, I would put a $60 trillion correction. And that's a pretty big hole in the bucket. If $60 trillion disappears out of the U.S. economy, it changes everything. It turns the financial system and the economic reality upside down.
And then who steps in?
Well, inevitably, the government's going to step in and say, here, let me fix that.
Let me fix that for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. How shall we then live? People ask that question. The answer is very simple. Just go back to God's word. Grab the book of Proverbs, teach your children the book of Proverbs. That's why we have the Proverbs Bible study guides available at our website. Just, hey, just teach your children the book of Proverbs. And they can begin to rebuild this thing one household at a time. Also, you might get a copy of my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, in which we detail the rise and fall of the Western economy. It's one of the most interesting chapters in the epoch of what happened in the rise and fall of Western civilization. Get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.